Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning to you if you're waking up and joining us on your Wednesday. Or I just heard from one listener who works the overnight shift and gets done at 4 a.m. his time and is now heading home and listening to the show, which is awesome. Whatever your routine, whether this is normal or abnormal, whether you're awake on Tuesday night or now waking up on a Wednesday morning, we're glad to have you on board. And Penny is certainly glad for your company, too. The dog has disappeared. I guess she's gotten farther underneath the bed to the point where I can't even see her. We haven't had any recent thunder, but I didn't hear her crawl and claw her way out from underneath the bed. As difficult as it is for her to get under the bed, as you can imagine, it's also difficult for her to get out from under the bed. So she takes a break when she's going under halfway through, and she takes a break when she's coming out. But I didn't hear her during our break there at the top of the hour, so I don't actually know if she's farther under the bed. Wait, hold on. Well, meanwhile, the cat is howling at me. Like, what about me? Stop talking about the dog when you should be talking about me. Yes, I just did a peek because I'm in the after-hours super secret home base, and Penny is now smushed all the way under the bed just in case the thunder returns. My brave dog who will protect me no matter what. It's a good guard dog we got going on here. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you haven't seen the photo, it's up on Twitter. A-Law Radio, a dog that looks like she has frog legs. And then also at the top of our Facebook page. And I appreciate all of your questions for Ask Amy Anything. But in addition, I appreciate that so many of you are responding and sharing the lessons you learned when you played team sports, whatever level. I started playing Little League when I was in third grade. I still have the photo somewhere. No, you can't see it. At least not right now. And I know that I've learned so many valuable lessons from participating in team sports. And even if you play tennis or golf, which are more individual sports, in high school and college, those are in a team format. So there's also a team component to that. Cross country, same thing. I always preferred the track events that were relays. I loved running relays. I still enjoy playing golf in a scramble format. I like golf as an individual sport too, but I love the collaboration and the teamwork aspect of participating with other people and knowing that you've got their back and you can pick them up and they've got your back and they cheer for you and they root for you. And sometimes they tell you what you don't want to hear, but there's a trust involved that comes with working together for a common goal. And as I said last hour, in order to gain trust, very often you have to be the first one who extends trust. And that's also part of the team bonding experience and the wisdom that comes with spending time with those teammates and getting to know them and loving them, despite the fact that none of us is perfect. I mean, that's a piece of a family too, right? I always say that my family, my best friends, my closest friends in life, including my best friend that I've had since I was 13 years old, they know me inside and out. They know everything about me and they love me anyway. That's the sign of trust and respect. We can appreciate the flaws in other people. We can learn from the differences in other people. And I think the sports lessons that we get from being part of a team can apply to so many other areas of our lives. Dedication, discipline, perseverance, communication, respect for your teammates, recognition that they also have skills and also have talents that they bring to the table, that they do things well that you don't do well, that every person plays a role and every role is valuable, and that we can't all be the same. We can't all have the same skills and abilities. Otherwise, we would never win anything. You can't have a basketball team full of power forwards unless they're LeBron James. But there aren't that many who are uber talents out there who don't need to rely on teammates. Even Michael Jordan would tell you Scottie Pippen is the greatest teammate he ever had and that he wouldn't have won without him. Dennis Rodman, same thing. How about John Paxson and Steve Kerr, who made those huge shots when they had to. I mean, there's Tony Kukoc, for heaven's sakes, just using The Last Dance as an example. So much of the lessons that we can use right now as we navigate the spring, whether it be the peaceful protests and the conversation, the change that I hope ensues after the death of George Floyd and over the last week. I hope that it does, but we have to work together as a team. The team, of course, being not just our communities and our leadership in our communities, but as a, you know, as a greater whole, the United States of America. And it's not easy. It never is. Nothing worth having is ever just handed to you, very, very rarely anyway. Anything worth having is worth sacrificing for. Any goal worth achieving is worth sacrificing for. And sometimes those sacrifices are hard. Definitely being a winning team requires going through adversity and going through the fire. But all of those are so important. I am really grateful for your post, but also I'm trying to be open and read your posts with kind of different eyes, you know, not just, oh, hey, that, yeah, I agree with that, but wanting to learn from what you're sharing too. So on Twitter, on Facebook, and then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. We got a plan, by the way. I've talked about it a couple times during this show. It's the NBA that will vote on Thursday, following suit with the NHL, which a week ago unveiled its plan. Now, in the NHL's case, they managed to keep everything under wraps until they had actually agreed on a framework, though they're still hammering out details. With the NBA, we've got the details, some of them, before they vote. But this proposal is expected to pass the vote of the owners, the Board of Governors, come Thursday. It's got some really important numbers you need to know. 22 teams would be part of this Orlando hub. 22 teams would be called back to play basketball again. July 31st, that's the date when they would start to play, which is still 2 months away. Ugh, it's 2 months away. I feel like that's way too long. I don't know why, but they must feel like that's how long it's going to take for them to have everything in place, the framework, the protocols, the health and safety, the testing, maybe to get everybody there. It just seems like it's so far off, and there's a lot of time where, you know, they could be back on the court before then. But I am not paid to make these decisions. July 31st, and if there's a Game 7 of the NBA Finals, October 12th. So July 31st through October 12th is the NBA's date. That's their season, their playoffs. They aren't going to finish the regular season because they're not bringing every team back. So they can't just pick up the schedule where they left off. But they can bring those 22 teams in and do some type of a round robin, so at least they have more of the regular season that's completed. So most teams had about 15, 16 games, somewhere in that range. They weren't even to 70 games yet. There was a talk that, you know, conversation that they would just bring back the top 8 in East and West. specifically in the East, there's a pretty wide gap from the top eight down through the rest of the teams that aren't in the playoff picture at this point. But the Wizards are within 5.5 games. And so the 22-team model includes every team that is within 6 games of the final playoff spots in the East and the West. Now, in the East, that's only the Wizards. There's only one team that fits the bill. That's the Wizards. In the West, the Blazers, Pelicans, Kings, Spurs, Suns would all be part of the Orlando hub. And I have so many questions, most of which do not have answers. It's not so much about the format and the kind of the round robin. That's all fine. I think they do need games under their belts, like actual games that count, before they would hop into the playoffs. So I think it's neat that they would kind of have a ramp up, maybe a round robin, maybe a couple play-in tournaments, something that would give these other teams the chance. Because you never know what might have happened, especially in the West. You don't know what might have happened if they'd been allowed to finish out the regular season. Blazers, Pelicans, Kings are only 3.5 games back of that number 8 spot in the West. So could the Grizzlies have been knocked out of it? Could we have seen the race go all the way to the final day of the regular season? Yeah, we could have. So at least this gives them an opportunity. Plus, they'll get their sea legs under them, get some contact in a few games before they would get to the playoffs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The idea of putting all these teams in Orlando, and we kind of did some loosey-goosey math. Don't quote me on this number, but if you're, and I'm just kind of guesstimating, they would want limited personnel to mitigate the risk in Orlando. Now, they're going with 22 teams because they stand to make a couple hundred extra million dollars. Can you believe that? 16 teams versus 22. I heard a report from Adrian Wojnarowski. He said if they bring back 22 teams instead of 16, that the owners are looking at a couple hundred million dollars in revenue extra. That's how much it's worth to them to bring back 22 teams instead of 16 and to have a type of round robin tournament. So they're willing to absorb the risk for the several hundred million dollars that's on the line if they add more teams, you think? You're going to have, 15 players on each roster, coaches, training staff, support staff. They probably won't bring in a lot of the front office people into Orlando anyway. But even if we're talking 30 guys for each team, or let's even make it smaller than that, 25 guys for each team. And I don't know if that's feasible when you consider a roster as 15, but 25 guys for each team times the 22 teams that would be in Orlando, still 550 people initially when they restart. But it's worth it to them because of the couple hundred million dollars they would make. That's crazy, right? Just underscores again that sports is big freaking business. Big. Even in a weird format like this one. I mean, it'll be a novelty. The games will be televised. It's going to be interesting. So even though there will be major competition from the NFL, and I'm not sure how the NBA and the NHL will fare. Yeah, you have your diehards, and the NFL doesn't play every night, but when you're up against Sunday Night Football, you're sunk. Any other program up against Sunday Night Football is already, you know, they're already competing against a loaded deck. So if you haven't seen these numbers, and I'll go over these a little bit later this hour. In 2019, the top 10 TV shows by total viewers. Number one, Sunday Night Football. 20.1 million viewers on average for every Sunday Night Football game. By the way, that's up 6% from the year before. We told you that the NFL ratings were on the rise again, and that's 2 years in a row in which they've seen an increase. Sunday Night Football, the most watched TV show of the entire 2019 year across any network. 20.1 million viewers on average. Thursday Night Football was third on Fox, 15.1 million viewers. So both Sunday Night Football and Thursday Night Football, which of course would be in direct competition with what the NBA and the NHL are doing, they're gonna essentially eat into a major portion of the, not just the ratings, but the viewership. Hey, Dave, do you want to take a wild guess what number two was sandwiched in the middle? So top 10 TV shows of 2019. I've just told you one and three. You're welcome to guess any of the others, but can you guess number two? I'll give you a hint. It's on CBS.
I don't watch many regular TV shows.
Oh, you don't?
So I don't even have a remote guess.
Oh, you don't?
It'd be embarrassing if I even guessed.
Oh, okay. So I'll reveal them a little bit later on. But always Sunday Night Football, Thursday Night Football, as much as people make fun of it, it's a behemoth on both those nights. And so you don't really want to go up against it if you're any other sporting event or any other league. But if the NBA and the NHL aren't coming back until July 31st or early August, they're going to have no choice. If they're going to play through into mid-October, they're going to have to compete with the NFL. And they're going to lose. They're going to lose. It's just how it is. We are now 99 days out from the start of the NFL season, which I think is fascinating. I came across some quotes from John Madden about playing football games with no fans, and I want to share those this hour as well. So we'll be chugging through these next few minutes, but we're asking you, what lessons have you learned from participating in team sports? Because those lessons very often can be they can be applied to the rest of our lives, whatever obstacles and challenges we face. And boy, have we faced a lot already in 2020.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Whatever normal is, but positive is certainly applicable. Head coach Andy Reid of the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. Man, that feels like forever ago. The Super Bowl, believe it or not, was 3 months ago. 3 months ago? 4 months ago. Oh my gosh, Amy, I lost a month. Do you know that the Super Bowl was held on February 2nd? And now here we are in the wee hours of June 3rd. And so some of you are still on June 2nd, but we're talking about 4 months. 4 months since the Super Bowl. And on our last show, I mentioned that there were still time for redemption in 2020. There's still 7 months to go. But boy, does it feel like the first 5 months packed a wallop and are still packing a wallop into June. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. What have you learned from your time participating in team sports? And even if it's an individual sport, you can still learn when you have the opportunity to collaborate with others, golf, tennis, even running cross country or track. I always loved the relays. Those are my favorite, whether it was running track, the actual sport in high school, or whether it was field days. Do you remember field days? I don't know if they still do field days in elementary school and junior high, but I loved field days and all the blue ribbons that I would grab. Oh my gosh. Let's see. Our phone number, 855-212-4227, coming up. Portion of my conversation with John Walton, the radio play-by-play voice of the Washington Capitals, who are looking ahead now after securing a division title with the end of the regular season, kind of cut off. They're looking ahead now to the resumption of the Stanley Cup playoffs and hoping to win another cup in their franchise history. 855-212-4227. Is our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. So now we're inside of 100 days until the NFL season would start, if in fact it starts on time. And there's this debate going on. You know, there's always debates about things that we don't know. And we don't know whether or not there will be fans in any capacity allowed in NFL stadiums. In Texas, The governor has been among the first to say outdoor sporting events, we're going to allow fans in limited capacity. It stands to reason if the numbers for the coronavirus continue to go down that more states and more NFL teams will have the capacity to at least have some fans in the stands. But there's this debate about whether or not there should be piped in crowd noise, which Fox is already planning for its highly rated Thursday night football broadcast. Some players say you need that crowd noise because otherwise we won't be able to communicate without the other teams hearing us. Some athletes are saying, well, if you're dumb enough to use the same signals and the same snap counts and the same terminology without changing it, then you deserve to have the other team steal it and know what you're doing. But some of them say, hey, we're used to piped in crowd noise because that's what we do in practices when we're getting ready for really raucous atmospheres. DeSean Jackson actually is on board with players being mic'd up and that being a part of this unique experience in 2020 if there are no fans in the stands.
I think they should, though, bro. They should give the fans, like, an insight to really see what goes on in between the white lines, bro. It gets crazy, bro. It definitely does. I know in the trenches it get crazy, and I know out there on the outside it gets crazy, too, the conversations we going back and forth on.
So he's saying allow the fans to hear what we're saying to one another on the sidelines because it gets crazy. Allow the fans to hear our communication on the field. Now, I always enjoy those moments where you've got massive crowds that hush when the quarterback tells them to quiet down or another member of the offense in a home stadium motions for the crowd to quiet down. And the hush is amazing to the point where you can hear a Peyton Manning audible, or you could hear Omaha. That's where it all came from. I enjoy hearing them communicate. I just don't know whether or not that creates an unfair advantage then, or an extra scouting tool for other teams that are watching these games that can then pick up on what's happening. The NFL can try to police that. I'm not sure if it will be able to. If they mic up everything and don't have any type of ambient noise, crowd noise. John Madden, who is now into his mid-80s, so this is a former coach, player, Hall of Famer, broadcaster, gamer, he doesn't want to hear artificial crowd noise. So he made these comments recently to a producer for one of the, I think it might have been Sunday Night Football, one of the major networks, and he says, it's all about the access. So DeSean Jackson talking about giving fans the access, Madden is on board with that. He says, who doesn't want to hear more of what's said between players, coaches, officials? I'm all about that. I think that'd be great. Some of my favorite sports programs, and I don't mean live events, but my favorite sports programs are the ones that we get from NFL Network, NFL Films, in which they then go back and replay the game, but they do it through the eyes and the ears of the guys who are mic'd up and who are within, you know, range of the crowd mics, and you get to hear their reactions. I love it. I absolutely love hearing their reactions and seeing their reactions in the moment. Now, we believe that Fox is going to do not just crowd noise, but virtual fans in the stands, which I think will be so weird. And I don't need it to be artificial. I don't need it to be gimmicky. I would rather get this taste of what it's like to be on the field, even if it's for a limited number of games, a limited time. Because I think that that's something we don't have. We don't normally have in the moment. You might have it after the fact, but you don't normally have it in the moment. In this age of all access, where we want to feel like we're on the field, on the sidelines, this could be really cool. And I think honestly could add to and enhance the experience while we're not allowed to be in stadiums, if that's the case. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's one of the reasons why I enjoy sitting baseline when I go to basketball games and cover them with press passes or for work is because when the guys are battling under the hoops or when you have whistles and they're lined up for free throws, anything like that, you can hear them communicating and talking to one another. And you get major insight that you just don't see on TV when you're up close and you can hear with your own ears. So I love that portion of it. It totally enhances my experience of attending a game. Andrew Bogish is with us here at the bottom of the hour from his super secret home base. Andrew, did you play sports?
Growing up?
Yes.
Yes.
No,
not
now
well,
as an adult, Andrew, I meant right now. Yeah. Goofball.
I played them at a moderate level of success. Sure.
Okay. Well, I don't really care about the success part, but what is a lesson that you learned? Because I think you can still learn something even if you fail. What is a lesson you learned from playing sports?
I think you just learn how to exist in a group, right? I mean, I hated school, like schoolwork in groups, but being on a team was a whole different thing. That made much more sense to me. I wasn't good. Part of the reason why my success was moderate at best is because, you know, I wasn't the killer instinct guy and the supreme competitor. Like, I liked being part of the team. I liked being part of the group. I liked all of us having success. I liked being in the locker room or, you know, on the van driving to games. Like being just in that group, feeling like you were part of something,
yes,
is the more important part of things for me.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Those are all great things. And it reminds me that book that was written, Everything You Ever Needed to Know You Learned in Kindergarten. I feel like that could apply to sports, right? Because there's so many life lessons that you can take away from sports. And certainly the idea of teamwork, that we're better in groups, that we're better together than we are solo. I think that's so important. So, Andrew, how are you, by the way? Besides not great at sports.
What? Yeah, I'm okay. I can't complain. You know, normal amount of tired. I need a haircut, but otherwise we're doing okay, luckily.
I just found out, at least in New Jersey where I live, that they're reopening salons on June 22nd. And it's like the governor set off a mad dash of people now. So we have to write in and request appointments. I didn't even bother at the end of June because I know they're going to not have any appointments. It could easily be August before I get an appointment.
Right. I mean, that's the problem. First of all, congrats on your new house, most importantly. But
thank you.
That's the thing now. Like, okay, it's open on this date, but when can I get in? And yeah. Then when do I want to go in? You know, everyone's going to make their own personal choices on this too. Like, when are you actually going to dive back into society?
Right.
Because again, like, the place where I got my hair cut is full of dudes and people and
dudes.
The guy's right in your ear cutting your hair. So, like, I don't know even if I can get a haircut that I'm going to get one right away. So, yeah. I may need to finally do this myself in the backyard and just at least get this under control somehow.
Yeah, you and I are at different levels of desperation. My hair is as large as a football, like a giant, like a fat head football. Like, it's just, it's huge. But it's okay. I mean, no one sees me right now. But when I do have to reintegrate into the society, which I think maybe, I don't know if I'm going to be able to, definitely can't be putting this hair out in public until it gets some sort of attention.
Hats are fine. You can wear hats.
I do love hats. All right, coming up next, part of my conversation with John Walton, play-by-play voice of the Washington Capitals. Good morning to you. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Still one of my favorite moments in recent sports history. All that relief, all that joy, all that euphoria, all that unadulterated excitement over winning the Stanley Cup. Alex Ovechkin, a very recognizable moment in our recent sports history, even just with the audio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's great to catch up with the play-by-play voice of the Capitals, John Walton. Love his calls on the radio. Good to have him on the show. And I started out by asking him his reaction to the NHL's return to play plan that was unveiled last week.
Well, first of all, I like that the NHL was taking a pretty strong lead in returning to play and doing it in the safest way possible and getting out front of it as much as anyone can in these sorts of times. I think that the commissioner said it as well as anyone could have. Look, everybody, no matter what team you are, there's probably something that you don't like about the plan. But the fact that there is a plan is a good thing. And 24 teams have a chance. There are certainly some teams like a Montreal or Chicago where you know, they probably weren't going to be part of the postseason, but now they have a chance. Now you've got 24 cities that are engaged. You certainly have, depending on what happens with baseball, and, you know, there's certainly been some ups and downs in those negotiations, you may have a pretty wide berth to have a pretty big audience watching your product. So I think first and foremost, getting back and doing it safely, but I think for all teams involved, just to get back to something close to, it certainly isn't normal, but at least playing games, at least having a chance to compete for the Stanley Cup. It's what everyone in this business strives to do. And now you've got a chance to do that if all goes well post July 10th.
I'll be honest, when I saw that date, July 10th, I was a little taken aback because after getting the return to play plan, I was thinking, okay, phase one, phase two is about getting guys back in for individual workouts, which a lot of other teams and other sports are already doing, baseball and basketball. And then I see this July 10th before they can ever get to the point where they're doing their quote unquote training camp. Does that date surprise you?
It surprised me a little only because when the commissioner first made the announcement, and in fairness, he did say at least July 1st before players can get back into what would be organized groups, phase two, on the ice practice with coaches, et cetera. And then within a couple of days, we heard July 10th. And okay, well, July 10th means that you really can't expect to have any games before August.
Right.
This is going to be a three-week process. To ramp up, to have at least one or two, I don't know if we can call them preseason games, let's call them practice games, before you're back and playing in these the play-in round, if you're Washington, if these mini qualifying series, if you're outside of the top four, that is the beginning of August. So you're going to have to, in the whole month, you probably can do the qualifying round, the first round, and part of the second. But then you're looking at, all right, third and fourth round, best of sevens, a little bit. We're not sure if it's best of five or best of seven yet in the first couple of rounds. But you're into the third round. Now it's September. And you could have a scenario where you might really have some hockey weather by the time the Stanley Cup champion is crowned. It might be October. It might be when you'd be going normally. So obviously everything for next season is going to be pushed back. You're looking at maybe January has even been kicked around, and the commissioner certainly didn't refute that and said anything's possible. So you've got a long way to go till this season is over, and then an even longer wait maybe until a regular season for next year could be underway. And again, this is stressing that it has to be, everything has to go right.
Right.
There may be some flies in the ointment and a hitch and a giddy up along the way. But if as long as everything goes well, I think that's sort of the plan that I think they're working with.
John Walton is the very recognizable voice of the Washington Capitals, one of our favorites, with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. John, you've had a chance to do different video calls and fun interactions with some of the players with the Capitals. How are they hanging in?
Well, best that I know remotely on a Zoom call. They seem fine. we did a cooking show with Jake Verana and Jonas Siegenthaler, which was kind of fun. Those guys have some pretty good cooking skills, so I learned something about them I probably wouldn't have known otherwise. I've done some things with Peter Bondra, who's still very much within the organization on the business side and talking about his career. And something we did that was really fun during this time and needed, you know, in our community, and I'm sure every community, the food banks at this time are really hit hard and in need of support.
Right.
And we were doing video shout outs to fans for small donations through Cameo, where you could have us, you know, wish, you know, Mother's Day or a birthday or a graduation that didn't happen or a prom that didn't happen. We've done all of them, and some of them even words of encouragement for some of the frontline people like nurses and first responders, and those are always pretty emotional. But we raised more than $10,000 just by, you know, sitting on our backsides and talking to fans, which was, you know, it was great for us to have something to do and, you know, to be able to have that engagement with fans and to be able to, you know, help those who really need it in the D.C. area was a good thing. And it caught on a little bit, too, in New York and Minneapolis, St. Paul, and a couple of other cities where there were similar initiatives. So, yeah, really, really happy to, if you've got the time, try and do the best you can with it. And hopefully we've done that.
With the end of the regular season, in essence, the Washington Capitals clinch a fifth straight division title. First time in the franchise history. It's been an incredible run, of course, with the Stanley Cup championship in the mix as well. What is the key to the consistency for the Capitals?
Well, Alex Ovechkin's a good start, and the stretch that he's had in that 5 years, going back to when Barry Trotz was in Washington, and now Todd Reardon has followed up with a couple of his own since Barry left for the Islanders. It's been a core in the top six that will go down in Caps history as probably the best top six they've ever had. When you've got Alex, who will have his not only his number in the rafters when it's all over, but a unanimous potentially a Hall of Fame first time out. Nick Backstrom, in my mind, is a Hall of Famer too. And I don't know that people outside of Washington may be thinking along those lines yet, but I think they will be by the time that his numbers are done. And having won a Stanley Cup now certainly adds to that resume. TJ Oshie and all of his popularity and goal scoring abilities, that's a pretty good part of your top six. Throw in Tom Wilson, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and Jacob Vrana, who's been tremendous and is certainly a legitimate NHL top six now. There's no holes there. There's not a lot of holes either at this point in the bottom six. Ilya Kovalchuk coming over right before the deadline, slotted in pretty nicely on the third line, and I put Richard Panik on the fourth line. They're with a healthy team, and that's what we would expect going into the postseason. That'd be fine. I think there's still some questions on defense. They had a pretty uneven year in that core. The goaltending at the time of the pause with Braden Holtby was pretty good. Mm-hmm. But the forwards are those are the success points. And I think that's been going on by and large for a long time here, and hence the reason five in a row.
I will ask you the same question about Alex. You mentioned him as being the key to the consistency for the franchise. He really sets the tone. But after the shortened season, he once again is tied for the most goals, 48 of them in the shortened season. What's the key to his consistency personally?
I think he's had such an incredible career, but I think when you look at what he has done in this five-year span, and really since the team won, his captaincy he got at a young age, and he had to grow into the role. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but he has, and I don't know that people outside of Washington really have the true sense of the leader he's become, and I think that's translated to now at age 34, going to be 35 in September. We used to say that was training camp. I think that might be in the middle. He might have a birthday in the middle of the playoffs, which he never would have anticipated. But that's, as he gets older, he is taking his training very seriously. He's had a personal trainer, his personal trainer, with him in quarantine at his house during this time. He has certainly not taken his foot off the gas, despite 80 days away or whatever it's been at this point. You see the work ethic from him, and he expects that of his teammates. And I think after winning and after knowing what it takes to win four playoff series in a single spring into early summer, he wants to get back and do it again. It's certainly not going to bother him if it's at a pod in September. He wants to raise the cup again and continue to add to his legacy. I think that's only made him stronger as a player.
Don Walton, play-by-play voice of the Washington Capitals, a few minutes of our conversation, and you can listen to the whole interview as part of our podcast, AfterHoursAmyLawrence.com. But if we could all quarantine with a personal trainer, wouldn't we all be better off? After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. A lot of you weighing in on our social media, on Twitter or Facebook, about the lessons you learn from team sports. And so I want to get to some of those as we wrap up the hour. But I promised you this. Here are the top 10 shows from TV in 2019. Sunday Night Football, number one, 20.1 million viewers on average. NCIS, still going strong, nearly 20 years. And that show with Mark Harmon is still one of the tops on TV. 15.2 million viewers on CBS every week. Thursday Night Football, 15.1 million viewers. So NCIS barely beat out Thursday Night Football. Then FBI, which is a CBS crime procedural that I enjoy. Blue Bloods, about the NYPD family in New York City. Chicago Fire, This Is Us. Young Sheldon, the spinoff from Big Bang Theory, then Chicago PD and Chicago Med. So those are your top 10 shows from 2019. But as you can see and hear, I guess, Sunday Night Football, Thursday Night Football are humongous, and the NFL doesn't want to miss a beat there with any type of delays to the start of the season. So what did you learn from sports when you played, coached, or even reffed? Saw this post on our Facebook page from our friend Jerry Palm. I was an umpire and referee for 24 seasons, and it taught me a lot about how to manage conflict. Steve on Facebook, I learned early on playing baseball, your individual stats, as good as they may look, they're not important if at the end of the day you are not winning. Darnell, my opinion, sports has taught me so much about life since I've played, how to work together. Sure, we're going to agree to disagree, but we come to a happy medium. And he points to the diversity, too, there as well, is that you have to learn from everybody around you. Pam, you may run into a teammate you don't necessarily enjoy being around, but you walk between those lines or onto the court. You put that aside, if only for an hour or 8 hours. Thanks so much for weighing in. Enjoy your hump day. We're back with you tonight on After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.